Hi, I'm Jo Allen. I'm a holistic health teacher and founder of The Humble Warrior based in St. Leonard's-on-Sea.
Hello, I'm Heidi Rickson, and I'm a Reiki healer, teacher, and sound healer.
Welcome to Resonant Space. Hello, and welcome to this episode where we're talking about the spring equinox, or Ostara. So all things lovely and spring-like.
Hooray! It's spring!
The sun is coming!
Oh my god, it's like a relief. Anyway, I found out some interesting sciencey stuff about the equinox.
Amazing.
So, the equinox is known to be equal day and night.
Yes.
However, that is not technically true.
Okay.
So a couple of days before, there's something called the equilux, L-U-X.
Okay.
Because lux is light and nox, N-O-X is night. Okay. Lux, light, nox, night. So the way they measure the equinox is when the sun is halfway above the horizon. So it's when the center of the sun, so that the sun's bisecting bisected by the horizon, that's when they count for the equinox.
Oh, okay.
The equilux is actually equal daylight and night. It happens a couple of days before because the sunrise is actually when the top of the sun breaks the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
And then also beforehand, you do get some light. We've got the atmospheric light bending that creates more light
mm-hmm.
in the morning and then in the evening the other way around. So the equilux is this year, March 17th. And the equinox is the 20th.
Right, okay. Because also in astrology, the equinox is when the sun's at 0 degrees to Aries. So I wonder when that actually is, whether that's the equinox or the equinox.
I think it's the equinox because I read something about that.
Yeah.
As well.
So there's a couple, yeah, because I know there's a couple of things that mean it's the equinox, but yeah, so that must be one. I thought it was equal day and night, but technically it's not.
I did too until I started
looking at stuff. There you go. It's good that I know these things. So I've got a little spring equinox circle coming up and I don't want to get my facts wrong. I love it. Every day's a school day.
I don't think anyone's going to call you up on that.
No. In fact, when I go into that, they'll be like, oh, okay. Interesting. But yeah, that's fab. Any other interesting facts?
Yes.
Of course.
It doesn't have to, well, it's not specifically equinox related, but it is. So the seasonal lengths and days are changing as the years go on.
Right.
So the summer is getting 1 minute longer per year. The
1 minute longer every day?
Every year.
Every year?
Every year.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Right.
Not every day. Sorry, that would be quite a lot.
And the spring is 1 minute less per year. Then the autumn is a half a minute longer per year.
Okay.
And the winter is a half a minute shorter per year.
Do we know why?
That is because of the Earth's orbit.
Mm.
And because the closer we are to the sun, the faster we spin.
Okay.
So we're closest to the sun in early.
Closer.
Yeah, we're closer to the sun early January.
Yeah.
So there's some orbital changes that are happening.
Mm. So are we physically getting closer to the sun?
I just think our orbit's changing.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't actually get that into it because if I did,
I know. Every single answer right now, please.
No. We'd be here for like 3 hours.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because in my mind, when I think about it, obviously you've got the sun in the middle, and I've got that picture of the Earth orbiting the sun, and then the moon kind of spinning around the Earth in like a little corkscrew. So it kind of keeps going. That's why we get our full moons and our new moons, etc. But I kind of imagine that orbit of the sun. Sorry, the Earth around the sun is always just the same?
It's elliptical instead of circular.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So on the small end of the ellipse,
yeah,
the closest, and that's beginning of January.
Yes, okay.
And the furthest is the beginning of July. Okay. I just thought it was interesting that our season lengths are changing.
Yeah, and it's not global warming. It's something to do with Earth.
No.
That's interesting. Because I think you would automatically just assume it was global warming. That's what I would.
It's not. It's has to do with celestial movement.
Oh, it's always to do with celestial movement. I don't know why I even think it isn't. Oh, that's great. So, I mean, we were just both saying that we felt quite spring-like today. It's a lovely sunny day. We've got daffodils on the desk. Because, yeah, and there's just these symbols, I guess, that mean that spring is coming, which gives us a kind of different mindset, doesn't it, I think?
Oh, absolutely.
Like the flowers, the baby animals. Because, I mean, obviously the spring equinox and Ostara is around the same time as Easter. So it's, you know, that all these kind of more pagan or Celtic traditions are also very much mirrored in Christianity, aren't they? So you can always have a familiarity from them just from the way you've been brought up and, you know, Easter and Christmas and Halloween and all those different Christian sort of traditions. But, you know, within the Wiccan calendar, it's just slightly different. What I really love about it is it has a slightly different meaning, because with Easter, you have got Easter eggs and you've got the Easter bunny and you've got the chicks. But again, it's all very much in a cartoon sense, and Easter eggs are chocolate and, you know, but some of the traditions are the same, like Easter egg rolling, Easter egg hunts, painting Easter eggs. But the meaning is just different.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the meaning of flowers in spring equinox or Ostara is around fertility and, you know, the seeds that are blooming. And Easter eggs, or the egg, the sort of symbol of the egg, again, is around fertility rather than how much chocolate you can consume. And the kind of a ritual of painting an egg was to honour our ancestors. Just, you know, just a little kind of gift to the universe kind of around that time. And again, yeah, kind of re-emergence, rebirthing is around this time of year. So the baby animals are around, are sort of symbols of that, rather than the Easter bunny bringing baskets of eggs. You know, it's just all like little spins on it, isn't it? Which I find quite interesting.
The so Ostara is actually after a Saxon goddess.
Yes.
Goddess. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yes, Ostara is a German goddess, I believe.
Same, Saxon and Germanic.
Yes, okay.
Same.
I like it though. We're just checking each other's. But yes, exactly. So that it's a worship of... There's a few different goddesses that you can worship around that time, but I think she's the kind of the main one.
Who else?
Oh, I can't remember the names. I should have written them down. I'll find out.
Okay, you can get back to me on that.
I know. Yeah, there's a couple. Yeah, I'll find out in a minute. But yeah, I think it's a time of... It's interesting because it's a time of... It's a period after, I suppose, you've made your New Year's resolutions, you know, in the winter, in that kind of New Year's mindset. And Ostara or the spring equinox is when you can renew those and kind of reevaluate them and make some really lovely intentions for the year, because it feels a lot more hopeful. Because, you know, going into March, it's just that sort of, you know, everything's a bit greener, everything's a bit more brighter. And it's just that kind of hope. But what's lovely, I think, about the sort of the equal day and night, again, kind of symbolism, is that you need both of the things. You know, you need light and you need dark. You can't have one without the other. So where, I don't know, the darkness has been around winter, we've you know, if we've done it properly, I guess, we've kind of used those darker days and we've used that kind of more internal focus to kind of maybe make those intentions, see how we're doing. And then when we think about the spring equinox and spring and coming out into the world, it's when it starts to blossom.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of, yeah, that's what I like about that sort of time of year of coming out of hibernation, I guess. It's like always comes back to nature, I think. Kind of, you know, you can always find mirrors in nature of what we should be doing. Not that we do, because we know that we push ourselves far too hard. But also, I suppose, back in traditional times there was no such thing as electric light. So, you know, it really would have made a massive shift in everything, in kind of the working day, you know, in agriculture and farming. Whereas now we can push through, we turn on the lights, we carry on working. You know, it's like it's a whole different mindset that we're coming into now. So it's quite nice to kind of step back a bit. And it was all about kind of greeting the sun and welcoming the sun back when they had their sort of spring equinox celebrations. And it was, you know, very much, thank you for coming back into our lives so we can have these longer days and we can work and feed our families and make, you know, do the harvest, etc. So yeah, I think it's quite a lovely time.
It's also somewhat of an energetic release and an energetic celebration because you get more light. And I'm extremely sun, it's not sun sensitive, but I need to have the sun. And there's just no other way to say it. And the less sun we have, no matter what I do, I notice. So for me,
do you get SAD, do you think?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. It's winter. I just call it winter.
Yeah.
But
you get the blues.
Oh yeah. Well, I notice though, as the days get longer and the sun comes up a little earlier and it's, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock and it's still light out. It's like, oh.
Yeah. Just feels nicer, doesn't it? I wonder what it is. We're clearly very, like you said, sun sensitive, but kind of, yeah, our moods are changed.
I don't think we notice it as much unless you live somewhere that has long periods without sun, like England.
Well, I was going to say like somewhere like Iceland or, you know, because we're doing okay here.
Well...
There are places that might have 1 hour of sunshine a day.
Yeah, but that's different. That's like expected.
Yeah, I suppose, maybe. But, yeah. But there's definite, you know, obviously studies on the mental health of countries that have less daylight, and that's facts as well. So, yeah, it's physical, isn't it? It's kind of...
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a physical impact of daylight, which we know. We do know that. But then there's I guess, emotional and... There's just a feeling, isn't there, this feels better.
It just feels better when the sun's out.
Yeah.
However, I have to say that if it's out all the time, you don't get that same noticing that you feel better because you don't get that, like you were talking about earlier, we need the contrast.
Yes,
so, it is. Yeah, so without the lack of sun, having sun probably wouldn't make me feel as awesome.
Yeah, you wouldn't appreciate it as much.
Exactly.
If you lived in a country that was just sunny all year round, you'd be like, you'd probably be the opposite. You'd be like, oh my God, it's too hot. I can't bear this. Yeah. And then there's just some really lovely practices and rituals that you can do around the spring equinox, whether you gather in circle like I'm doing. I'm going to have a lovely circle where people can do some rituals together or set some intentions, or whether you do them on your own. It doesn't really matter. But it's just nice to think about the sort of ways to celebrate this lovely time of year around the spring equinox. And one of them is really about giving back to the universe. So that can be planting seeds is a very popular one. So starting to kind of your own creation in conjunction with nature, which is really lovely. And again, it's not revolutionary because I suppose at this time of year is when you would naturally plant seeds, but to do it in a more of a ritual way is quite nice, isn't it?
With intention.
With intention, exactly. Rather than, yes, just to make your garden look nice, which you will have as a result. But then other ways are about, you know, they could be kind of donated to charity as well. So it's about creating an energy flow, kind of a positive energy flow of giving and what that brings out into the universe that will come back to you. So there's probably lots of other ways actually that you could think about to have that kind of spirit of giving. But that's really important around this time of year. And another one is having a big spring clean, which again seems just... you know, intuitively, that's what you might do. You just get that feeling, don't you? I do. I was thinking about it this morning. I was like, right, I need to clear this out. I need to clear some space. It's just, it is very intuitive.
Do you think it has anything to do with the sunlight?
Possibly. And just that, you know, your hormone levels maybe are feeling a bit sort of more elevated and your mood is more elevated. So therefore, you're sort of feeling that need. But yeah, I suppose it kind of ties in with the giving as well. If you have a clear out, then it's a good time to maybe donate to charity or give it to friends, or but I suppose also evaluate what's meaningful for you. So if you've collected a lot of, I don't know, tat, rubbish, what I'm trying to think what's in my house what we're clearing out at the moment, I think it will also be that kind of mental clear out as well, isn't it? It's a physical spring clean, but also a mental spring clean of, is this bringing me joy? Do I need it? No, let's put it aside or give it to someone else who will enjoy it. Because as we know, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure, you know, and I think that's lovely. I think the kind of cycle of, you know, recycling and giving something that you've had for years and years and years, it means, you know, it's lost its meaning for you, but someone else might find it really charming and it will brighten their day. So that feels like a really nice thing to do. And then obviously we have going outdoors.
Ah, the outdoors.
The outdoors, so a bit of forest bathing, but really connecting to nature and appreciating it, rather, you know, really looking around and noticing the green shoots. And, you know, if you're lucky, the baby animals.
This is such an exciting time of year to get outside because you see daily changes in the landscape. Sometimes it could be from the time you leave the house to the time you come back.
Yeah.
You see a flower that opened.
Yeah, I know I need to put that into my practice, is getting out into nature more, because I had it really firmly rooted in. Like it was a non-negotiable. It was in there and it's become a negotiable, and I know that that's not right and I need to change that, definitely.
Do you feel the difference?
Yes, absolutely. I feel less space in my mind. I feel less creative. I feel that's when I had all my best ideas. When I was just looking around and clearing space and that feeling of just kind of inviting in anything that wants to come in. But I don't do that if I'm sat in front of a computer or...
I know. Believe me, I know.
So, yeah, I think getting outdoors, appreciating nature, I think that's going to change our mindset in so many ways. Like, how amazing is, like you said, that flower opening? How amazing is nature? And that just gives us a different mindset on everything else. It makes us prioritize, I think. Like, what's important? Is that really important? Or have I just gone down a hole of being in a habit? And, you know, so I think it's so important. But we know that just being in nature, the resonance of nature, we know how good that is.
Absolutely. I like to, every time I go out, or I try to every time I go out, is bring something back.
Okay.
So I just kind of keep an eye out, usually on the ground or near the ground, and I'll just see something. It could be a bud, could be like on the ground that fell off a tree, could be stone, could be a little pine cone.
A feather or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you've got a lot of feathers.
They were given as a gift by birds. They left them for me.
I'm always on the lookout for feathers because I do think they have a really special meaning. And I'm like, why are they not gifting me their feathers? but yeah, exactly. And that appreciation, I think, of something that we are such a part of, but it feels like we're disconnected from it. Like, we're in our houses, we're in our bubbles, and we're disconnected from something that is a very part of us. You know, the air we breathe has come from the trees, and we're so connected, but it's about re-realizing that, I think. And I think spring equinox is a perfect time to do that. It's good to do that all year round, all the time, every day if possible, but if that's not possible, it's amazing to carve out some time at these kind of traditional celebrations to do that.
right around this time of year is a good time to also notice and appreciate the longer days, because it moves faster around this time of year.
And that's one of the other sort of rituals or practices, is to greet the sun. So to get up before the sun comes up and actually watch the sunrise. And
do you have to bring the sun a cup of tea or something when you greet it?
You do whatever you like. But I think it's just witnessing the absolute, there's no word for it, the
splendor.
The magnificence of what it is, a sunrise. And if sunrises are my addiction, if I can make myself get out of bed. I love them.
Well, I'm very fortunate that upstairs I can actually watch the sunrise.
Oh, that is amazing.
From up there.
I could, in my life, where I lived before, I could see the sunrise. Mm. And that was, I just took my curtains away. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't need to sleep. I just want to see the sunrise. So we had no curtains and it was beautiful. Fortunately, I don't have that where I am, so I'd have to make an effort. But it's worth the effort, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
And it's about, yeah, and it's witnessing, it's giving thanks to everything that the sun is. The sun is, you know, life as much as water is life. You know, we need all of it. And I think the appreciation, as we were maybe saying earlier about, you know, more in our agricultural times where they didn't have artificial light. So they had a real appreciation of the sun and what it could do and the life-giving force that it is. Whereas we've, again, lost that a little bit. It just is a given, isn't it? There it goes. Up, down, up, down.
Yeah.
We don't just go, wow, without the sun, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be able to survive. So it's, again, it's that thing of stepping back and taking a time to appreciate what that is.
That's a big part of my practices, is being mindful of the small things.
Yes.
Noticing.
Yes, mindfulness. Yeah, definitely.
And it can bring you some of the greatest joys that you would never have thought before.
Yeah.
That you would have. Just exactly. Watching the birds or seeing a new flower.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
It's making time for that, isn't it? Because, like I said, I used to have a non-negotiable time where I went out in nature, did exactly that, and it's just become, I've lost it. So I can recognise that, and I imagine lots of people can recognise that and go, oh, yes, I used to do it, or I need to do more of that. So, yeah, I think it's a really important one to just maybe even put it in your diary as a, you know, even if every now and then it gets scratched out because you definitely can't do it, but just to go, no, this is my time. And actually, you know, that is my pocket of time. And if someone tries to put a meeting in, or someone tries to do something, unless it's really, really important, no is the answer.
Even if you get out for 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't have to be
even
be a walk. You can go out in your garden if you have one. Mm. Or just step outside your door.
Yeah, exactly. But the benefits are just numerous. It's definitely one to do, but definitely around spring equinox if we can. And then a major one is creating those goals and starting new projects. So it's kind of stirring up your creativity around this time as well, which is kind of, it's a nice time astrologically as well.
I can't believe you just said that.
What?
Because what didn't I say to you when you got here? I said, I don't know why, but I just suddenly got super creative and I started making things again.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. But astrologically, there's a reason behind that, because we move into Aries, which is, that's a lot of that kind of motivation behind things. So it's, if you think about Aries, is like a drive forward, it's
the ram.
The ram, it's confidence, exactly. The sort of physical symbol is always easy to kind of imagine. The highest expression is the one of the warrior. So it is literally like forging ahead confidently. The lowest expression, so the kind of the shadow of Aries, is maybe being a bit stubborn. So there's things to watch about this time, which I can notice as well. But it's about using those positive aspects as motivation. And yeah, it's going to unlock our creativity at this time, because I wonder if it's to do with the colour. You know, the colours are more vibrant, the flowers, that sort of promise of newness and hope of, you know, the future. Where I wonder if that unlocks our creativity a bit as well. But yeah, it's a good time to start new projects, and yeah, it's a good time to start manifesting that as well. So really taking the time to do that kind of meditation, journaling, make vision boards, anything that kind of works for you in terms of creating that space of like, this is what I'm going to do, this is how I'm going to achieve it, and, you know, really kind of putting that, putting the cards on the table around this time.
Cards on the table.
Cards on the table. It's also a really lovely time to get together with family. So I don't know if you ever had Easter kind of lunches or gatherings. So it's a time really for sharing seasonal food. So if we take it back to, again, to more traditional, it's about celebrating the food that's growing at this time, making lovely, you know, lovely feasts for families and sharing. And just, it's a really joyful time, I think.
What do you have for family gatherings?
So we do usually have an Easter lunch. We would have lamb, which seems a bit mean. But I'm very conflicted about lamb. I am a meat eater. I do have to admit this. Yeah. But I'm conflicted about some things. But that's a whole other topic. We will have a get together. So yeah, I think it's just nice. I think if you don't have the opportunity to see your family very often, to mark, you know, these occasions with a family sharing of food is really lovely.
It is, because sharing a meal with people is very bonding.
Yeah, and that seems to be what we do in our family. So that's really lovely. So I think, you know, that's one of the traditions that I think is really nice around spring equinox is, and again, it's about the intention behind it, isn't it? You know, as long as it doesn't feel forced, then, oh, we have to all get together because it's this, whatever. But it's like, oh, this is a lovely occasion. And then if you can't, I suppose, have the sort of family gatherings around spring equinox, there are, as we mentioned, these rituals that you can do on your own or you can do with friends. One of them that I really like is the equinox elevation ritual.
Interesting.
I think we'll be doing this in my circle, where you kind of stand up, ground your feet into the earth, extend your arms up to the sky, up to the sun and the moon, and you kind of just visualize the new sun's energy sort of radiating and infusing into your body and filling you with power and inspiration. So it's, you know, it can be however long you want that to be for, kind of just visualizing that power, the sun's rays. And yeah, giving you that strength and inspiration, especially if you're making these new goals or starting new projects, you can kind of use that energy of the sun, which I think is quite lovely. And then in terms of manifesting, it's time to kind of get your candles out and start manifesting. So you can, if you light a green candle around spring, that's obviously supposed to be kind of quite connecting to the energies of spring. And you, it's kind of suggested to light it for 7 days and repeat your intention for 7 days and then just sort of let that go and let that out into the universe. So it's one of the, I mean, there's a million ways to manifest, obviously, but that's one that's quite nice, I think, because you're celebrating the light as well, with the flame of the candle. And yeah, it just feels quite intentional.
Candles are always nice anyway.
Candles are always good. But I think this is just, I mean, I suppose if you research this, there'll be lots more things that you can do in terms of celebrations, but they seem to be kind of the main lovely ones that I've picked up on.
I actually like to bring flowers inside, like I did this morning before you got here.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of, yeah, again, it's a symbol, isn't it, of just like beautiful, the beauty of nature.
And even when I'm sitting here at my computer, or it's raining and I don't feel like going out and getting wet, I've got these lovely flowers here.
Yeah, exactly. And then you were talking about how you're feeling around this time.
Oh, it's so, this time of year is just so incredibly energizing. Mm. I notice the changing of seasons because it gets a little bit more sunny here this time of year. And like I was saying earlier, the sun comes up earlier, sets later, so we've got more daylight. Mm. And I suppose because I'm so sun sensitive, after winter, I'm ready. So now it's almost like I want to go out and just celebrate the blue sky. blue sky, do the happy blue sky dance. There's blue sky, there's blue sky. You know, just
totally.
Something I don't think I would have done living other places.
Okay. Well, because you didn't notice the difference so much, or?
I don't think I had as much awareness, but I don't think I noticed as much as I do here.
Yeah. I think when I used to work in an office day in, day out, I didn't actually ever see this, the changing. I didn't know when the light went or when it changed.
Oh, yeah.
It would, I knew that it would be dark when I got to the office and it would be dark when I left. And then in the summer, it would be light when I got there. But I didn't know exactly when or had any sort of feeling about it. I think there's a real importance of connecting to what is actually happening all around us.
Absolutely. And it is an exciting time. You can take the nature's cue and see how nature is changing every day and getting more colorful. And you can say that's nature's way of being creative. And if you just sit with it, sit outside, listen to the birds, really connect with the earth, it's great time to make that earth connection. And it's just, it's a perfect time to revisit your connection with nature if you've lost it.
Yeah, which we probably all have, definitely.